Our scripture reading today is from the book of Acts 9, chapter 9, verses 36 through 43. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. And at that time she became ill and died. And when they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard that Peter was there sent two men to him with the request, "Please come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter put all of them outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, he stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Would you pray with me? Holy God, we do give you thanks for this wonderful day that you have given us to worship you, to celebrate you. And Jesus, now I ask that you would speak through this stammering tongue to proclaim your message of grace, peace, of service for your name's sake. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. There was a 13-year-old girl who asked her father, who was a pastor, and she asked an interesting question. She said, "Why do men only have one wife?" Well, her father, who was the Reverend Parker Daly, answered her question by saying, "Open your Bible and read Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. And she did so, and as she opened her Bible and read that, she read the words, "No man can serve two masters." Yeah, serving is a wonderful opportunity. That's a nice little comical way of talking about service. And you know, our UMW does a wonderful job, and I am proud to say that I am a member of the UMW. Now, y'all might think that's a little weird, but you know, guess what? Don, Randy, and Ben are too. As preachers, as elders, or clergy in the United Methodist Church, we are members of the UMW. Don't let anybody in. That's true. But you know, one of the things that the UMW does so well, and I think that they do such a great job in taking a lead here, is serving. Serving. You know, serving is a part of who we are as Christians. It needs to be a part of our DNA, kind of like our fingerprints. And when I was thinking about this message, and I was going to have the opportunity to speak on this day as we celebrate UMW, I remembered the story of Tabitha. My daughter has a book at home. It's a bunch of devotions that a lot of times we read in the evenings about God's princesses. And Tabitha is one of them, and it tells her story. And I remembered that. I was like, oh, that would be perfect to speak on. And Becky did a wonderful job of telling the story. The life of Tabitha, as shared there in the book of Acts, what is the first thing that the Bible tells us about her? It says she's a disciple. She's a follower of Christ. She is a believer. But the neat thing is the Bible doesn't stop there. No, it continues on. It said that she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. Now, the Greek word there for devoted is the word pleros, which can also be translated as full. She was full of these things. Now, Bill and I, we were talking this past week, and we both agreed that usually when somebody says we're full of something, it's not a compliment, is it? But here in the Bible, obviously, they mean differently. That she was full of great things. Full simply means to be just that, full, to have the capacity for no more. Now, I will tell you, this is something my daughter is still trying to learn, because I'll give you an example. We can be sitting at the dinner table. It actually happened just a little bit while ago for breakfast. She's sitting at the dinner table, we'll say, she'll be eating, and she'll say, "Daddy, I'm full." Y'all ever heard that before? We'll look down and we'll see maybe half her plate has been eaten. Maybe, on a good night. And so Lori and I will try to encourage her to eat some more. She might have 2-3 more bites, and she'll say, I'm full. Say, okay, Sarah, there's nothing else after supper tonight. You know, she'll say, that's okay, I'm full. No sooner than about 30 seconds after we have cleaned the table off, she'll come and say, "Daddy, I'm hungry. Can I have some candy?" How many of y'all have heard that one before? Or something like it? Yeah. I think that just goes with having children. She'll want candy, and she wants things to fill her up that she wants. And you know, the fact is, we fill our lives with many things, don't we? The question that I want us to think about is, what are we filling our lives with? What is it? How would we honestly answer that question? What would our calendars say about how and when and where and with whom we are filling our lives? What would it say about who or what we are devoted to? Are we devoted to being connected to people through things such as social media? Nothing wrong with that, but is that filling our time? How much time do we spend watching television? I'll admit, that's one I have to deal with. And outside of sports, there's not much good on TV. And my wife would say that might not be good either. So, do we have insane schedules, period, that are filled with good things, maybe great things, maybe important things, but maybe not necessarily kingdom things? What do our calendars say? What our calendars suggest? Would they suggest that we are full of doing good works, doing deeds of charity for the sake of the kingdom? Or would our calendars suggest something different? There's a man named Rich McLean. He lives in California, and he tells a story. He says, "As a general contractor, I frequent the home improvement stores on a regular basis. Said, now, as a Christian, I have made these home improvement stores my mission field." And he would say that, you know, he has helped numerous people load their items into their vehicles, whether they're heavy, you know, because they're heavy a lot of times. And he would help out and just try to love on people and do these good works, so that he might have the opportunity to share Christ sometimes. Well, one day he was coming out of the store, and he's walking to his truck, and he got in, and he happened to look across the parking lot, and he noticed something. He noticed there was a person getting in their vehicle, and it was clear that they had left their lights on, or it left an interior light. Yeah, left their lights on, and so he couldn't get his car to turn over. The battery had run down. And so Rich McLean, he prayed that day. He said, "Lord, I know I got jumper cables in the back of the vehicle." He said, "But not today. I'm behind on my work. I didn't sleep well last night. I'm tired. I know I got these things, but not today." That was his prayer. He said, "Any other day, you know I would help." So that's what he had done. And he got out his keys and put them in the ignition and he turned it over. Click, click, click. And he had left an interior dome light on in his vehicle, and whose battery was dead now. We are called as Christians to be people who continually serve. Continually. You look at what Tabitha did. She was full of works, good works and deeds of charity. She was full of them. It was something that continued on. She made it a part of who she was, not just occasionally, but all the time. How about us? Where do we fit like that? Do we fit into that mold? Or do we need to adjust ourselves to being in them, to being in a different mold? Of course, the story goes on, and Tabitha dies. She gets sick, she dies. The disciples there hear that Peter is nearby. They send for him. He comes quickly, and he's able to bring her back to life. And we think, wow, man, that is like an awesome miracle. And it is. And you know, we oftentimes think, well, why can't I experience miracles like that? Yeah, you know, maybe not being brought back to life. Maybe I've not needed that one. I don't think any of us here have needed that one. But wouldn't it be great to experience God in powerful ways? And I'll say this, maybe if we desire to experience the miracles of God, may we first continually seek to do the will of God. That we will seek to be in His presence and abiding in His will. And we think, well, what is the will of God? Micah 6:8 puts it this way. What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? I like what Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20. He says this to disciples. But Jesus called them to him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you. But whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. We are called to serve. I think, as was stated earlier, our UMW takes a lead in this so very much. I had to get a couple of things. As was mentioned earlier, our Rebecca Circle makes these items. These are baby layette kits. And they will take the time to sell different items to raise money to buy the items that go in here. It was a set of pajamas and a bib, a blanket, and other items. And then they are given free of charge, given to the parents of newborn babies at Fort Campbell. Yeah, I think about the backpack program and how many people that serves. It's over 3,000, I believe, is what you said earlier. It's amazing the impact that we can make. There are other ways to do service as well. I brought with me my prayer shawl that was made by our prayer shawl team. And was given to me right after I first arrived here. And if you come into my office, you'll see that it sits on my office chair all the time. And I treasure that very much. These are groups of people who are getting involved and trying to make a difference in different ways. How else can we serve? You think about the Room in the Inn clothing drive that we do. Room in the Inn itself. That's serving people. If you're not familiar with these ministries, ask. We would love for you to get involved and get plugged in. I know a family in our church, mom, dad, and two kids, and they're both elementary age, took the time to go be a part one night this past year to be a part of the Bridge Ministry in downtown Nashville to help out, help this ministry that engages homeless people in downtown Nashville. A family just on their own took the initiative to do that. You know, there's a lot of homeless in Nashville and in the surrounding areas. We've seen them. How many of y'all noticed it's been hot lately? Yeah. What if each of us were willing to commit to having 6 bottles of water in our car where we could easily reach them? And when we see some of the homeless on the roadside selling the contributor, what if we just gave them a bottle of water? What if we did that? You think we would be serving God by doing so? I do. This is cheap. It's cheap stuff. We could do that. What if we took the time to actually buy the contributor that they're selling? They acquire those for 50 cents. They sell them for $1, and those homeless people get to keep the 50 cents that they make off of. Or just give them the $1 and help them to get back on their feet. Help them to engage in society. These are ways that we could individually, not through a program in the church, but individually, we can make a difference. Also, it was mentioned earlier about health kits. And I actually brought a health kit today. I made this up last night. And each health kit costs maybe $10, $12 to put one of these things together. Just one. And today, at the back and also on the rails on either side, there are instructions to making these health kits. These health kits, I mean, these things have simple stuff in it, like soap, Band-Aids, toothbrush, comb, washcloths, a hand towel. Basic things that we take for granted, but I'm going to tell you, in a natural disaster, in an emergency situation, this stuff really makes a difference. I actually challenge us. Each household, what if we could make 5 of these? Just 5. It won't take you long, I promise. Could we make 5 of these and send them to our distribution center in Louisiana? I provided on these sheets of paper, it's got the complete list of everything you need, and it's got the address to mail it to. What if we each made 5? I challenge us to do that. And to help people around the world, most likely we will never see, but we could be serving our Lord by serving our neighbor in Christ. Could we do that? I think we can. I think we can make a difference. I believe we are called to make a difference. I would love it if people at the post office said, well, we got all these packages going to Louisiana. We don't even, what's going on? Wouldn't that be great? I think we can do it. We are called to radically impact our world around us. That is what we are called to do, to share Christ, yes, but we can do so by simply serving others. I want to say thanks to our UMW for taking the lead in so many ministries like the ones I've talked about and the ones Shirley mentioned earlier. It is wonderful to see that, but you and I, regardless of whether we're a part of the UMW, we're called to serve. My hope and prayer is that people beyond the walls here will see that we indeed are full of, we are devoted to doing good works and acts of charity. But I pray that they would also see that the reason why we do these things is because we are full of Him. Jesus Christ, who has redeemed us, restored us to be in relationship with Him. He serves us. Let us serve each other and the world beyond. Let's pray. Jesus, we do thank You that You love us so much. We thank You that You indeed served us. And we pray, Lord, Your grace to simply abound. Father, may we do Your will. May we give You praise. For we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.